Hallelujah, Jesus. And I was just standing back there worshiping. I was just thinking about, you know, how important it is to worship in the, just the TV and all the things that the world has to offer us, how it desensitizes our, how it makes us kind of unsensitive to the love of God. And as I was just standing back there worshiping, he was just reminding me of his love. And the more that we love him and through worship and just any time that we spend with him, it gets rid of the desensitivity that the world is always offering us over and over again. Because I know one thing for sure, the more I love him, the more I'm going to love you. And if I can love you more, maybe I'll get outside of my comfort zone more and more and be able to pray more for people. Because I tell you what, our prayers avail much. Yes. And I really want you to know that our prayers really avail much. We have no idea what it thwarts and what it changes in the spirit. But I'll tell you something, it changes many, many things. So just know, just realize, and just see in your own life how hard sometimes it is to pray. And even for myself, I'm thinking of what, how I respond sometimes and how I do not respond through prayer sometimes. And I want that to really change in my life more and more as I go in here. And the Lord was just showing me his love, just the more I love him, the more I love you, and the more I'll pray, and the more I'll pray, the more it has great effect in this world. Because when we look at things, it doesn't look like we have much, has much effect, because we don't see the effects. Many times through our prayers, we don't see the effects. But we have no idea what it does in the supernatural. Because the Lord says we have all authority, and through our prayers, the prayers of our Father, through our voice, allowing him to speak through our voice through prayer, and just through the love that we would have for one another and for anyone else, it avails so much. And I just want you to know that that's what I was hearing back there, and I wanted to share that. So rejoice in the Lord and just spend time with him more and more in the days ahead. Our prayers avail much, and they're going to avail much more in the days ahead. So we thank you for it, Father.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Faithful, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Faithful.
We glorify you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just magnify him. We glorify you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Worthy, worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 we worship you. If you're filled with the Spirit, you pray in tongues, just begin to sing in the Spirit. Just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to sing through you. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We glorify you. Kingdom come, thy will be done. For all these years, Lord, that you've been praying through us the mysteries of God over this region, we cry out for this outpouring. A against all warfare, and in the midst of all warfare, Lord, we thank you that you've made us more than conquerors through Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, we thank you that we see ourselves positioned on the wall this morning, standing strong in this fortress. Father, we speak life over this region in the name of Jesus. We speak your glory and we release your glory into this house in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the ministering spirits that are here, and mostly for your spirit, the precious Holy Ghost of God, the very person of God. Father, we worship you and glorify you and magnify you. We lift up our voice. Come on, let's magnify him. Paul said, I will sing with the understanding, and I will sing with the spirit. Just begin to worship God. We pray in the spirit, begin to speak the words of the mysteries in tongues and magnify him in song. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we release your love, Jesus. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Magnify you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
When we were singing that song, I just kept remembering and thinking, there's a place right now in Kansas City, people are preparing for a gathering of 28,000 to 30,000 people. That's young adults, families. We sing about that army. I believe that there's people being raised, there's children that are being raised, families that are being raised, priests that are being raised for the purposes of the Lord. I believe in the authority that this church walks in.
Amen.
I believe in the 15 plus years of sowing in the days of the wilderness, in the days of the valley, in the days of the mountains. We have authority in the Spirit.
Yes.
We are a small furnace, but we are hot with burning fire of the Lord. We do not walk by what we see. We walk by faith. This whole past year of 2014, I continue to hear that we are a church that needs to lend our authority to places, to those furnaces. You know, you take a little kindling of fire and you put it to something that is ready to be lit on fire. That's what I see ourselves as. I've seen that. There is a gathering in Kansas City where there are people that have just been drawn. We've seen it. My family's been there. There's people that the Lord has drawn to that place, and they don't even know what they're going to encounter. They just know that they were told to be there. The Lord's led them. They can't even describe, oh, the Lord's led me. They just know that they had to be there. They're ready to be lit on fire for the Lord, and a lot of them are. The children's ministry, between 4,500 to 5,000 children. Some of them have never been to church, but their parents take them. I would like us to stand in prayer the next 4 days. These people are gathering. Young people. We have one of ours there now sowing and staying in prayer. We're a church that has been equipped to lend our authority. We don't have to be in those places from right here, this spot. We can lift those places up. Our nation needs our authority.
People who are on the threshold of the greatest outpouring this world has ever seen. And the group that Maria just described is part of the family. And right here in Immokalee, we've been crying out for an outpouring. And we're right on the edge of it. We're right on the edge of it. The same authority that is working in other places is working right here this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our city belongs to God.
Yes.
It doesn't belong to the gangs.
No.
It doesn't belong to killings. It doesn't belong to perversion. It belongs to the Almighty God who shed His blood. We're on the threshold of a great outpouring. I'm just going to ask you, as we're going to sing this song again. And you might be totally comfortable where you're at, but I'm going to ask you, there's times in the Bible where people just gave their body to the call of God. And the Bible does say to submit our bodies a living sacrifice at times. And that's talking about prayer. I'm going to ask you to come and either stand or kneel at this altar. Altars are made to kneel at. Do you know that? People stopped bending their knees a long time ago. I don't know why. Paul said, I bend my knee to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's just good to bend your knee and say, you're Almighty God. God, come and save our land. God, come and heal our land. We don't need any more shootings in Immokalee. We need moms and dads to become moms and dads. We need purity, cleanliness in our city. We need our city to be washed. It begins with us. The standard is us. If it doesn't begin here, this city will never, it'll just get worse and worse and worse. We're going to sing this again. How long will this last? I don't know. Just come and stand or kneel. Let's cry out to God. Lend our authority to what's going on in Kansas City, but pray that also that what they're doing reflects here and what we're doing reflects there, and that there's a great outpouring across our nation. Come on down. Don't wait for the song. Just come on down and find a place to pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. This prophecy just came forth recently from another furnace in the earth, from another place where revival is being called out. And this goes out to all of us. I received it from us or for us. And listen to the word of the Lord. There is no plan B. There is no plan B. That which I have begun in you, I will perfect in you. And that which I have spoken over your life, I will fulfill, says the Lord. There are many of you have begun and have started out on a journey and commenced on my plans. And many things have come to try to divert. And I say to you, my children, I am bringing you back into alignment. You have not gone astray. I do not blame you or hold you up as to fault. I say the enemy has come hard against you and on many occasions to try and divert you. And I say to you, I am bringing you right into alignment once again, says the Father. Those of you who are blaming yourselves, I say to you, you have pressed through, you have gone on, even against the odds, you have held fast to that which I have given you, and I am pleased with you, says the Lord. And I do not hold it against you, my children. I say to you, I have watched you as you have warred. I have watched you as you have stood toe-to-toe with the enemy on many occasions. And again I say to you, my child, I do not hold you to fault or at fault. I do not see you as the one to blame. I see you as the one who has warred. I see you as the one who has stood fast and held fast. So, my child, I remind you, there is no plan B. That which I have spoken, I will bring to pass, and that which I have spoken shall not fall to the ground. My word shall not fall to the ground, but my word shall go and perform that which I have sent it. It shall accomplish all that I have spoken, and it shall not fail, says the Lord. Father, we worship you. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. Lord, right now, as intercessors in the earth, and those that you have once again affirmed, those that are on the front lines, the enemy has sent so much to divert, but you are holding us as precious. We take the authority. We speak the authority, beginning first over our own lives. Wash us, Father. Let us stand with clean hands in the house of God. Forgive us. Wash us. Purge us. Let the blood of Jesus Christ wash us fresh and anew. That we as intercessors stand before your holy throne in a heavenly place. We are with him. We're not on this earth. We are actually there in heaven standing. Our prayers are standing before. We offer them up. Lord, we open this incense of prayers. Let this aroma come up before your nostrils. Let the glory of God begin to smell our prayers. Lord, let our prayers not be intermingled with sin, but let our prayers be intermingled with the righteousness of the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. Let us be washed fresh and anew in the blood of Jesus Christ. We lift up over this city. Why can we stand and pray over our city? Because we stand with clean hands and we say, Lord God, with a pure heart, let this city be saved. Let this region receive an outpouring. Let, Lord God, this incense come up before your throne. And Lord, may you smell these things. May you hear these prayers, Lord. May you begin to sense in our heart like never before that we desire truth in the inward parts. Lord, we thank you. As David said, we have not wickedly departed from our God. But Lord, we stand in this holy place and we give you all the glory and we praise and magnify you. You are holy. If you get, well, I was going to sing this. If you need to stand after kneeling for a while, it's fine. But let's just stay in his presence just a little bit more and offer up. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Are you ready for this influx of babies that are going to come in here by the hundreds? It's really going to happen, you know. I hope you're ready to teach, because you're going to have to teach these. School them and train them how to walk the things of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why don't you get ready to give somebody a hug this morning. And so, Father, once again, we praise you and glorify you, magnify you. Lord, what you're wanting us to do is to realize more than ever before that it's, as children, it's you want to come and lavish us. You talked about your love to us already this morning. But beyond that, what you're really after is to grow us up so strong that it's not all about us. That it's not all about us, and really what it's all about is, once we know who we are, is to begin to bring those in, the blind, the lame, the halt, and mostly those that are blind and maimed and halt in their spirits, who do not know who they are. But we thank you that as sons of God, as sons and daughters of God, that you're growing us up. We thank you, Lord, that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And we give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for that grace. There's another form of grace, and it has something to do with our giving. And it's all about love. The same place you worship him from is the same place you give from. It's not dictated. In fact, if he had to dictate something to you like that, it wouldn't be a free gift. So what is a gift? A gift is something that just leaves you. That's the best explanation for a gift. It just leaves you. You give a car to somebody, then you don't have the right to go and tell them how you think they should be using that. No gift that you ever give to anybody or anything, you don't have the right after that to go and say, comment how you think that should be used. Because if it's a gift, it just leaves you. It's theirs. That's how giving in the kingdom is. It just leaves you. You say, okay, God, you're speaking to my heart. And I'll give because I believe that Immokalee is in revival. So why don't you just ask him this morning what he'd have you to give? We'll do that a little bit later, but Father, we thank you. Speak to their hearts. Speak to their hearts. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Did you get that, Micah? Homer, why don't you share right now what you were saying that you felt like God was speaking to you about for the next little bit? There's a mic in you. You can, or wherever you want. You can stand up.
Stand up.
I'll turn it around towards the congregation. There.
Yeah, I was, and it's been settled. Something happened. Well, just real quick, in February of last year, of this year, I began inside of my spirit to know that something had to change in my life, and I was not content. I mean, I've never really preaching to me, you know, whether you believe this or not, it's never really been important to me. If you know, there's times I've been asked to preach where I didn't feel like preaching, but being in subjection to my pastor. I preached because he asked me, and it's never really been important to me. And the ministry that I had, I was not comfortable with the ministry that I had because there wasn't a level of love that the gospel that I read, I didn't see that love working in me. And I would be preaching with success. Now we had success, but what we're after, the 30-fold is great and 60-fold is great, but what we're after is 100-fold. As you're after the 100-fold together, me and you together corporately in the body. And I was not happy where I was at with the Father. There was levels of unforgiveness that I had, so I laid down my ministry. Nobody asked me. There was nothing immoral in my life, nothing at all. A lot of things had been purged in my life, but I was not happy with my love walk. I was not happy with the way I viewed people. I was not happy with the way my lack of subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I was not happy the lack of subjection to Pastor Bronk and Miss Candy, and I was not happy with the lack of subjection to the people. How many of you know that if you truly love God, there's an order? People are your desire. Wanting to be with people are your desire. If you have a ministry and you don't desire to be with people, I would probably read John chapter 13 again about unforgiveness. So I checked my heart and I didn't like where I was at. So I laid down my ministry by myself. I laid it down because I was not happy where I was at in my love walk. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to lay this down. And he knew I was laying it down. So I laid it down and I said, Lord, when will I know to take this back up again? And I've never claimed to hear God a million times in my life. I've never heard it. And I've never been one of dreams and visions. I don't have those. I have at times. But he said, you will know, son, when it's time. So I laid it down comfortably. And in February, really, I began to spend a lot of time with the Lord Jesus through worship. And I learned a lot from February to present. And the other day, I heard a teaching by Alan Taylor about a kid named Red. I don't know if anybody heard it or not. But I wept during the whole teaching. I just wept. And it was not a great teaching about revelation knowledge. It was just an exhortation that he gave. And I called him and I thanked him for that teaching. And about 2 or 3 days later, in a dream that I had, I was there I've been lately, the word of God has just been going through my spirit. Just, it doesn't stop. That's what Pastor Dave calls that day and night meditation. And in that dream, he began to say, feed my sheep. And he wasn't talking to Simon Peter. He said, feed my sheep. And I answered him. I said, well, Lord, are you talking to me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And when I woke up, and after hearing Alan Taylor's message 2 or 3 days before that, I burned and I cried inside for a passion for the young people of this town again. And then when I heard in my spirit, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, I knew that it was time. But this is the thing. This is why I know that it's time. This is why I know that it's time. And it's not going to be a youth group. It's going to be from the age of 15 to 16. We're going to start this back up next Sunday. Next Sunday is going to be from 6 to 7 o'clock. We might do one or two songs of worship. It's going to be called Sonship 101. It's going to be the miracles. What we're after is here in the morning service. It's here. It's strong, but this is going to be a time of just teaching stuff that he showed me for the last year, incredible teachings that are in my reservoir ready to come out that have helped me be in subjection to God, to pastor, and to the people. It's going to be an hour from 6 to 7 o'clock, no more, no less. I'm not going to ask anybody in our church to partake of it in doing worship, doing this or that's. Whoever really wants to be here will be here. But I do know that it's time, and I know more than ever that it's time because of what I heard when Alan preached, and it burned in me. I wept and I cried. And then I had that dream. We said, feed my sheep. And it felt so real to me, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. But the bottom line is I know it's settled in my spirit. Now, if you have ears to hear, please listen to this. Please listen to this. After going over 1 John so many times over the last year, and after going over John 13 through 17, I think for the first time in 20 years of being born again and Holy Ghost filled, for the first time in my life, for the first time in my life, I can sit across anybody in the world and take the bread and break it and dip it. I can sit, there's no anger in my heart anymore towards anybody. There's no ought in me anymore. It doesn't exist. I check over and over again, God, is there anybody? I can't even get angry at anybody anymore. Something has shifted. Something has changed in my spirit, and I give God all the glory for the purging process. So am I here to solicit this ministry? No, but if you have ears to hear, there's going to be things taught. It's going to be called Sonship 101. Next Sunday, we're going to start from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. It's not even going to be an outreach. It's going to be a time of just teaching stuff that he showed me for the last year, and it's going to be nice. It's going to be anointed. It's going to be revelation after revelation that's coming out, and I'm very, very excited about it because I feel my hands are so clean as far as people, clean to the extent that there's no ought in my heart anymore. There's no unforgiveness in my heart. People are who I want to be with now. And if you have ears to hear, it's going to be from 15 to 16 years old and up. Please, I think you know what I mean. Let's keep it structured to that degree and just pray about it, and the Lord would have you come out. We're going to have a good time, and I'm sure I have Pastor Bronk's blessing. I asked Barbara Fish to pray about it, but it's settled in my heart already. It's already settled. I just wanted his blessing as my pastor. That's the way it should be. So if you have ears to hear, and if you want to partake of this, we'll start next Sunday from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Amen? Amen. Pastor. Yeah.
Right. Because of the structure, one thing I heard when he said that is it's going to be 15, 16-year-olds. So please do not bring anybody under that age. It won't be a time to, this is a different time, so it won't be a time to bring anybody that's, if you bring people, boy, that's what we're all about. But that's not what this service, that particular service is about. So don't bring the smaller ones in. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Isaiah 55 for just a little bit. I just want to go off of the prophecy that we heard and read a little bit ago. And the end of that prophecy was about this very chapter here. One of the things that we're hearing from the Lord is now's the time, now's the season to move in. How many felt the presence of the Lord this morning? And the Lord has continued to talk about love in this house, and he's continued to talk about what he wants to do and what our mandate is to receive, coupled with others. What is that? Souls. That's it. That's the bottom line. The harvest. I'm all about miracles, but miracles are really second. They really are second. And I do believe that they're a calling card. I believe that they can attract. I believe that they were the strongest attraction in Jesus' ministry. But the strongest attraction was his love. And that's what you're hearing Homer talk about this morning. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says this, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near." And I just want to stop right there and just exhort. Now's the time to grow close. No matter what you've got going on in your life, now's the time. Don't say in your heart, well, later on I'll get closer. After I close this business deal, after I get this sorted out, right now, whatever you're doing, whatever's going on in your life, draw nearer to the Lord. Because he's drawing nearer to you. He's opening up a door. You don't know what your future is. You don't know what the enemy has in store. God has wonderful things in store, but it's so important to walk in sync with the Lord. Because if you put off today, or if you put off to tomorrow what you should be doing today, you might find yourself so entrenched in the warfare 4 months from now, 6 months from now, that you feel like, well, I sure can't pray now. God wants us all as a church to say, we're on the beginning part. We've been saying this for years, but like never before, because the Holy Ghost is saying it this morning through so many voices, and he's starting a class next Sunday night to say, look, let's get ready for revival. Draw, go into God like never before. Make the decisions this year like never before, at the beginning of this year, to go into God like never before. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Aren't you glad for the cleansing of our Lord and Savior continually? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Well, guess what? That was true before I was born again, but now I've been born again. Now he can begin to download his truth inside of me. Even though he will always be God and I will always be a human, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he begins to show me. And one of the things that I see my Father saying like never before is compassion, compassion, compassion. If there's anything that the Lord wants to deal with your heart in the days ahead, is to love him more and to love people more. And that's the heart of God. You'll know, am I getting closer to God? I don't know. I don't know if you are getting closer or not. If you take the the dipstick in a car and put it down in the oil tank, you can tell if you're a quart low or if you're right where you need to be. If you put the dipstick down in your spirit and something says, I still don't like people nearly as much as I should, you need to get closer to God. Doesn't mean you're not saved. You just need to get closer to God. And that's where revival begins. Intercession is not the groanings and always the groanings. And the intercession is just simply loving God more. So when you ask him for souls, something comes out of your spirit. Just one word. The prayer that Stephen prayed got Paul saved. The prayer that he prayed on bended knees. What prayer was that? God, don't lay this sin to their charge. It was the same prayer that Jesus prayed. And two of the greatest intercessors that ever lived, first being Jesus and then Stephen, who gave his life. It's not how much, listen, don't get me wrong, it's all about fasting and praying. It really is, because that's what leads us into more of agape. But the bottom line is fasting and praying is after something. What is it after? We're not just fasting and praying just to fast and pray. Fasting and praying is leading us to something. It's leading us to the love of God. That's where it's supposed to be leading us. And it's not how many days you fast. It's not how many hours you spend. It's how much of that can transfer the love of God into your spirit. And then the simple prayers. The simple prayers are the ones that avail much. Hallelujah. He says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, or your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and to bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. How many of you know that you know that you know that if you've been around here for these past 10, 12, 15, 17, going on 18 years, that everything that we've spoken is not going to return void? There's no way possible. There is no way possible. What have you been speaking? A tremendous outpouring over this city. Everybody that's supposed to come in is going to come in. Your loved ones are going to come in. It's not going to return into him void because we've been speaking the word of God. So again, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return into me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Here we go into revival. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We're here, folks. What we do with it's up to us. We're here right on the edge of an outpouring like we've never seen. The choices now going into 2015 are going to be this. Everything that I've learned, everything that he's speaking to me, all the purging that he's asking me to do, am I willing to do it? Am I willing to bend my knee and say, Lord, I want to go into you like never before? Lord, what is it inside of me that I, in 2014, that I wouldn't let you? What rooms would I not let you in 2014? Pastor, do you ever have any of those rooms? Oh, no. I'm preaching to you guys. You're the ones that need to. Every room, every door needs to be opened. Everything that when somebody gets close to that, we just change the subject. Every room, how can you go to that place? Only through His Spirit. Can I remind you something now that the holidays are getting closer to getting behind us? Can I say that word? Can I say that word? That word fasting? That word fasting that Jesus talked about prepares our wineskins to be coupled with the spiritual man. You say, well, I don't know. I know I need to love people more. Well, what can I do about it? Well, you can pray. But when prayer doesn't seem to be enough, there's this thing called fasting. And the Holy Spirit is already starting, as I can see the smiles on everybody's face. It's like, this is a love-hate relationship, Pastor. He's going to come to you. He's already come to you. And if you said that He hasn't, then you would not be telling, you would be fibbing in church, because your hearts are already identifying it. He's speaking to us. Let's go in like never before. Let's go in like never before. We've already had His Spirit move this morning. I just wanted to remind you of a few things, but let's just stand. Lift your hands. Now's the time to make a commitment to go into Him. Would you say these things with me? If they're your heart's prayer, if they're not, just say, I love you, Jesus. Say, Father, it is my desire, like never before, to go into you. Holy Spirit, I invite you into every room. Every room of my heart. Come, Lord. Change me like never before. Every avenue that you can use, prayer, fasting, the Word, every avenue, worship. Lord, use everything to become more of the Lord of my life. I say that I will be used in this great outpouring. I love you, Father. I give myself over to using me like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Lift your hands and just magnify Him. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, if you're ready this morning, we're going to put something on, and you can just give as you're leaving, but I think you just need to spend some more time giving somebody a great big hug this morning. His presence was the main part when we had that altar service up here. That was the main part. That's what He came for more than anything else. But why don't you give somebody a great big hug this morning and bring your offering down. Don't forget the Lord as you're leaving this morning. We love you all. God bless you.